The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk. One of the big problems that the Bible addresses, in fact, the main problem that the Bible addresses, is how can a sinful man be in fellowship with a sinless God? From the very beginning, we see the magnitude of this terrible problem. God created Adam without sin, but it was not very long before Adam and Eve, by virtue of their own free will and the bad choice that they made, separated themselves from God by sin. Since that time, all of mankind has followed the same path, to choose to separate themselves from God by violating God's will in sin. Now, God is a holy God, and man, tainted by sin, cannot expect to approach God and to be in a close, harmonious relationship with Him. We see from the very beginning, though, that God had a plan in mind to remedy that situation. We see systems that God had in place that involved the sacrifice of animals and the shedding of their blood to make it possible for man to continue in some kind of relationship with Him. But those sacrifices were only temporary in nature, and they did not really take care of the problem. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that in those sacrifices, there was a constant reminder of their past sins. The reason for that, as expressed in Hebrews 10 verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. No adequate sacrifice was provided under those elementary systems. But you see, God was working on something. God was preparing a plan. He was preparing the people to receive that plan. And when the time was right, He sent His Son to the cross to become the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus willingly went to the cross to make it possible for sinful man to come into the presence of the Holy God. By virtue of His sacrifice, because of the payment that He made on the cross by shedding His blood, God's justice was satisfied. And man's sin could be washed away. God could forgive and sanctify and justify sinful mankind, opening the door for that relationship between God and man. Now, as we think about that relationship, as we think about that fellowship, that possibility of being in the presence of God, it is so important that we never lose sight of just how significant it is. How important it is for us to remember what was done for us and to make sure that we conduct ourselves in a way that will maintain that right relationship with God. Well, let's go to the book of 1 John today and see that the Apostle John understood very well the significance of this problem. His purpose in writing, at least one of his purposes in writing, was to make sure that we could understand the facts, the principles concerning this right relationship with God, this fellowship with God. How is it possible that sinful human beings can be in the presence of a holy and sinless God? Now understand this, that as John is writing this letter, he's writing to people who are already Christians. He's not dealing with the issue of how a person who is estranged from God by his sin can find the initial forgiveness that he needs of all of his past sins. That takes place by means of the gospel. The gospel tells us about that plan of salvation and reveals for us all of those things that the Lord would have us to do, that we might receive that gift of salvation. When we obey the gospel, then we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will recall,
Over in Acts 22 and verse 16, we're told about how Saul of Tarsus obeyed the gospel by arising and being baptized and washing away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that washed his sins away, as Revelation 1 verse 5, if we compare that passage with it, would plainly point out. John, though, is talking about people who've already gone through that process. He's talking to people who've already had their past sins washed away and who have already come into a right relationship with God. But once we enter into that right relationship with God, there's a responsibility there for us to maintain it. What does God require of us? God stays holy. God remains sinless. And yet, we still struggle with sin. We still face temptations. We still have our weaknesses. We still have times when we are deceived, when we stumble, when we fall, when we make bad decisions. We still have to deal with sin as we continue to live our lives. How is it then that we, even though we've been forgiven of our past sins, can maintain this relationship with God, this fellowship with God, who is absolutely holy? That's what John addresses here in 1 John chapter 1. I call your attention to verse 5 as we begin noticing this very important and very encouraging passage of Scripture. John said, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." To understand and to appreciate this relationship that we have with God, this fellowship that He's made possible for us to enjoy, we must first of all understand and appreciate the nature of God Himself. John tells us that God is light. And by telling us that God is light, rather than telling us that God possesses light, or God dwells in the light, or God is like the light, or any of those kinds of things, by telling us that God is light, John indicates to us the absolute nature of God and His holiness. You see, John often uses the ideas of light and darkness in his writings to symbolize the concepts of goodness and evil, holiness and unrighteousness, sinfulness and sinlessness, and so on. So for John to say God is light, he's telling us of His absolute nature, of holiness, of goodness, of righteousness. Later in 1 John chapter 4, John will tell us God is love. Well, in the same kind of way, we can see that absolute nature of the love of God. It's not that God is just a loving God, but God embodies everything that there is about love, and everything that there is about love comes from God. So when we think of light in the same way, light representing good and holiness and righteousness and so on, we can see the absolute nature of God's goodness. How that everything good, everything righteous, everything holy comes from God, the source of all of these things. Now, John says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Whenever we try to contemplate the nature of God, we, I guess, just naturally run into a little bit of difficulty because we're not used to contemplating infinite, unlimited, unbounded ideas and characteristics. Everything we're familiar with has its limits, but not God. God is absolute in His holiness and righteousness and goodness. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You see, whenever you think about God and whenever you think about His nature and so on, there is nothing that you can think of, nothing that you can find in God that could in any way be described as unholy, unrighteous, or sinful. God is above that. God is completely separated from that. And it's important that we understand this principle. The absolute holiness of God is so significant because it causes us to reflect upon the fact that we are not holy. We are not separated from sin in that absolute sense. You see, I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. I've committed plenty of sins in my life, and so have you. That separates me from God. Isaiah refers to that separation back in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and describes it almost as if sin builds a wall between us and God that separates us from Him. We see that's the main difference between man and God, or at least one of the main differences. We have sin, God does not. We choose to violate God's will, God never can violate His own will. God is absolute in His holiness. We are limited by sin. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, when we think about the absolute nature of that holiness, that righteousness of God, in Him there is no darkness at all, we're forced to see how impossible it is for us on our own to come into the presence of God, to begin to have fellowship or a partnership or a relationship with God. In Him there is no darkness at all. You see, if there were some darkness in God somewhere, if there were some aspect of God's being that we could point to and say, okay, here is an area where God is less than perfect. Here is an area where His holiness doesn't completely go. Then we might look at that and say, well, there's an area of common ground. There's a place where I can find some relationship with God. There's something we have in common. It does not work that way. God is absolutely holy, completely separate from sin. And as such, by ourselves, we have no hope of building any kind of relationship with Him that's based upon our nature, our goodness, our holiness. Because there is no goodness or holiness, not in comparison to that which God possesses. So John begins by showing us and emphasizing to us the absolute nature of the holiness and goodness and sinlessness of God. We read on, we go to verse 6. And John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Fellowship is what this is all about. Fellowship is a word that means a relationship, a partnership. It refers to the idea of sharing something together in common. What do we have in common with God? How can we have anything in common with God? Well, the only way we can do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' sacrifice made it possible for our sins to be washed away. Now, as we have our sins washed away, how then can we turn back to sin and expect to be in fellowship with God? God who is light, God who has no darkness in Him at all. How can we expect to do that? Well, we cannot. You see, John here is not speaking of incidental acts of sin when he says, if we walk in darkness. The idea of walking is very important in this context. It's going to come up again in the next verse, verse 7. But think about walking, what walking implies. You picture a person who's walking somewhere. What's he doing? He's in a process. He is traveling. He's continuing in something. And that's the important idea here. You see, there's a difference between a momentary act and a continuous process. How do we live when we are in fellowship with God? Do we live in an ongoing practice of sin? Does sin characterize the way I'm living my life from day to day? Or is sin something that comes up occasionally in my life, but I'm trying to put it away? You see, for the child of God who wants to be in fellowship with God, there cannot be any attraction to sin. There cannot be any affection for it. There cannot be any aspect of his life in which he's holding on to that sin. You see, we're talking about fellowship with God. Walking in the darkness would indicate that we also want a fellowship with sin. But how can we do that? How can we have a relationship with God on the one hand, where we have something in common and we're sharing something together. But then at the same time, have a relationship with sin, where we are in that ongoing relationship of sharing something in common with it as well. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If I'm walking in the darkness and say that I have fellowship with Him, John says, I am a liar, and I'm not practicing the truth. See, there's no way that you can claim to be in fellowship with both God and sin. It just cannot be. It's one or the other. We make the choice. God is the one who's determined and established for us how we can receive the things that we need to make the good choice and to be in fellowship with Him, but it's up to us to decide. So we can't walk in darkness. We cannot continue in that practice of sin. There has to be a change. If I want to have this ongoing right relationship with God, that fellowship with Him, something different will have to characterize my way of life. That's verse 7, where John says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light. Okay, so we can either walk in darkness, which prevents us from having fellowship with God, or we can walk in the light, which allows us to have fellowship with God. Now remember, that idea of walking suggests ongoing progress, continuing action in my life. What is the general course of my life? What is the practice of my life? What characterizes the decisions that I make in a day-to-day basis? Do I walk in the light as He is in the light? Well, what does that mean? Well, remember, light here is symbolizing God's holiness, His righteousness, His goodness. Where do I learn about all of these things? How do I know what's right? How do I learn about what God would have me to do? Well, of course, found in the Bible, isn't it? And as we study the Bible, and as we learn about those things that God has done for us, and those things that God would have us to do in service to Him, we learn about righteousness. We learn about how to be holy as He is holy. And so, on a day-to-day basis, we make those decisions to follow the ways of God. Following the ways of God, then, is walking in the light. What results from walking in the light? We have fellowship with one another. That is, we have fellowship with God. See, we've put away that practice of walking in darkness. I'm not living a life where I'm practicing sin all the time anymore. I've changed. Changed my mind. I've changed my heart. I've changed my actions. I now want to do things God's way. I now want to follow His will. I want to obey His commands. This makes it possible for me to continue in that right relationship with Him. But remember, that problem of sin is what separated me from God to begin with. Notice that John addresses that here when he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now here's the thing. Up until this point, we've talked about the general practice of life. And if I'm going to be in fellowship with God, I cannot live a life where sin is still my practice, my habit. But does that mean that I have stopped sinning altogether? Well, if it means that, then why does John mention this cleansing of Jesus' blood? See, there's something interesting in this passage here, because the language that John used here indicates ongoing, continuing action. If we walk in the light, that's a continuing action he's talking about there. That is, if my life continues to demonstrate this pattern of living where I seek to do things God's way, walking in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses me from all sin. That too is a continuing action. And this parallel continuing action of walking in the light and being cleansed by Jesus' blood, I enjoy the constant removal of the guilt of sin that allows me to continue to maintain that fellowship with God. So does that mean then that I've overcome sin in the sense that I don't do it anymore? Well, no. It doesn't mean that at all. Because the very next verse, verse 8, says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people whom he is admonishing to walk in the light. And yet he says, don't say that you have no sin. Don't say that you're living above it. Don't say that you have conquered it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But now, wait a minute. I thought that it was sin that separated me from God. I thought it was sin that was the difference between me and God. God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. Well, see, here's the difference that we need to understand. The difference between walking in darkness and committing acts of sin. You see, as I'm walking in the light, there will be times in my life when either because I'm weak, I make a wrong decision, or because I've been deceived, I make a wrong decision and sin, or because of frailty or whatever it may be. There are going to be times in my life, even as I'm walking in the light, when I make mistakes, when I sin. The difference, though, is what's my attitude toward that sin? Will I look at that sin and say, I'm just going to keep on doing it? It doesn't bother me. I don't have to worry about it. Or do I look at that sin and say, I don't want to continue down that road. I don't want to keep on doing that. I don't want that to cling to me and to drag me away from God. I want to put it away from me. You see, verse 9 tells us the key here. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess. Now that word confess comes from a Greek word that means literally to speak the same thing as. What does that tell us? Well, God says something about my life. He knows how I live. He knows my actions and so on. And through His Word, He shows me how far short I fall of perfection. And so, God shows that those areas of my life where I've fallen short, where I have committed sin and done wrong and so on. To confess means to say the same thing as. So, if God says I've made mistakes, if God says I've committed sin, then when I confess that, I'm saying the same thing God is. I'm admitting that God is right. Now, this word confess also carries with it the idea of humble submission. It's not just that I say, okay, yes, I did that, but I'm not going to feel bad about it. No, confession involves remorse. Confession involves sorrow for that sin. It involves a desire not to continue in it. Now, notice that John says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have a Bible in front of you, look closely at the end of verse 9 and the end of verse 7. And notice that at the end of both of those verses, it uses the word cleanse there. Now, verse 7 says that as we walk in the light, we are cleansed by Jesus' blood. That cleansing, that continual cleansing with Jesus' blood, depends upon our continued walking in the light. Now, when you look at verse 9, the end of that verse says that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin, verse 7, unrighteousness, verse 9, are really the same thing, aren't they? We could use the terms sin and unrighteousness interchangeably, couldn't we? Well, what is it that brings this cleansing from all unrighteousness in verse 9? It's the confession of our sins. So, if I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse me. If I confess my sin, He cleanses me from unrighteousness. So, what does that tell us? It tells us that walking in the light includes confessing our sins. So, even though I'm walking in the light, I'm still going to make mistakes. I'm still going to commit sins. But I don't look at those sins lightly. I don't look at those sins and want to continue in them. I look at those sins with sorrow. I look at those sins and say, this is going to separate me from God if I allow it to continue in my life, so I'm not going to allow it to continue. I confess it to God, I ask His forgiveness, and I have the promise that He will indeed forgive. Notice that John said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, God made a promise, and He's faithful to that promise. He will keep His word. We don't ever have to worry about that. And He's just. He's fair. You see, this is the plan that God has established. His covenant with mankind is that if we will obey His will, if we will act in faith and respond in obedience to Him, that He will bless us. Now, the fair thing for God to do is to keep His end of the deal. And when I walk in the light, when I confess my sins to Him as a child of God, then I have that confidence to know that my sin is going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can know that as long as I'm walking in the light, the blood of Jesus is continuing to cleanse me from all of my sins. And I know that I can maintain that relationship with God, that fellowship with God. But even though I am imperfect, and even though I make mistakes, I can still be one with the One who is light, with the One in whom there is no darkness at all. What a wonderful blessing it is that we can be in fellowship with the Holy God. And it's only through that relationship that we could ever hope to have anything to look forward to beyond this life. You see, if we are one with God now, if we are united with Him now, then we can expect to be united with Him in eternity. But if we're separated from God now by our sin, if we are cut off from Him, if we're in darkness and He's in light now, and we stay in that condition, then we can expect to be separated from Him in eternity. Friends, Jesus died for us to make our salvation possible. We ought to take that very seriously. There ought to be nothing more important to us in all the world than to make sure that we are right with the One who made us, that we are ready to face Him when the time of judgment comes. That time is coming for us all. Will you submit your will to the will of Jesus Christ? Will you obey the gospel? Will you live for Him and walk in the light? I hope you will.